Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Val, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about how you see the job of motherhood. You are a full-time mother. Is it important?
It's very important to me to stay home with my children as much as possible, which means that as a pastor's wife, I don't do many of the things that are expected of pastor's wives. I'm not a church secretary. I'm not a church choir director. I'm not a Sunday school teacher, although I do substitute for Sunday school teachers sometimes. I just can't quite see my way clear to be studying extra for a Sunday school class. I used to teach a weekly women's Bible study, which wiped me out usually for the day. I wasn't much good to the rest of my family for the rest of the day after I taught the Bible study. With homeschooling, it doesn't seem fair to the older ones to give them absolutely free time while I'm in a Bible study. So I don't go to a weekly Bible study anymore, and I really believe that the more time I spend at home just doing the simple tasks of everyday living and trying to stay on top of what my children are doing with their time is full-time work, and I'm happy in it. I like doing that.
I think that the world has very little understanding of the importance and the value of motherhood, and unfortunately that attitude has rubbed off on a lot of Christians. Mm-hmm. One of the really drastic and dreadful results, I think, of the movement called feminism has been this devaluation of what has always been considered traditional women's work. When you call yourself a full-time mother, does that mean that you don't have any time for yourself?
No. My time for myself is early in the morning before the children get up. I happen to be a, quote, morning person, and so I do love to get up earlier than the family, and I do love to spend time, first of all, reading the Bible, and then I take a walk almost every morning and pray during my walk. And then when I come home, if it's still not time for the children to get up, I may catch up on letters or any paperwork that I wouldn't normally do when they're all up, or preparing lesson plans. So that, to me, is time for myself, and I really enjoy that time. The Lord refreshes me and renews me for every day. I am not always able to spend an hour or so alone before the children get up. I would say probably on an average of four times a week am I able to spend at least an hour, sometimes 2 hours, before the children get up and prepare myself. Whatever lists I have to make for the day, plans for the day, are done then. So I thoroughly enjoy that. I also do take a short nap after lunch. I have almost always done that, 10 to 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, and sometimes I will just lie there and read after I wake up from my nap while the children are having their quiet time. The children don't expect to do a lot with me in the afternoons. I may have to go shopping, do some errands. They are often on their own. They're playing. I'm around, and I'm supervising what they're doing, but unless I'm asking them to do specific chores, they're free for much of the afternoon.
Now, if you get up that early that you can pray and read your Bible for an hour and take a walk and come back and do some letters before breakfast, what time is breakfast?
Breakfast has been at 7:30 most of the years that we've been doing homeschooling. The summertime, we're more relaxed and may not have breakfast till 8:30. But I often wake up at 5 or 5:30, so that gives me a good long time before breakfast.
You must have to go to bed early, don't you?
I often go to bed by 9. Sometimes I don't get into bed before 10, 10:30. But it's even a discipline it's a discipline for me to make myself go to bed at 9 unless I'm really tired. And, of course, being pregnant has made me more tired. We're expecting number 7 in December.
I'm sure that there are listeners who are thinking, well, she sounds like just a model mother. There's just no way that I could even begin to try to do things as she does. She must be just super organized. She must be super smart, super spiritual. Is that what you are, Val?
No. In fact, my most discouraging and despairing times are when I feel totally unorganized and very unspiritual and dumb. just plain old
in a word,
feel dumb.
Dumb.
I hear so many mothers doing all kinds of other things, and I don't see how they can get it all done and be at peace.
You think you should be doing something for civic interests or in society? Or you've already said you don't think you have to do anything in the church that you're not already doing.
No.
What about these women that feel so pressured to get out and do something, quote, fulfilling, unquote? Mm. Do you do anything that's fulfilling, Val?
No. When I pray in the morning, I ask the Lord to help me to see what needs to be done for the day. And if there is any serving of others outside the home, usually they're on my heart because of maybe the prayer chain or because of somebody getting out of the hospital, and the women in the church do help with meals. So sometimes I'm required to make a meal for somebody. But as far as sort of secular civic work, I don't even feel the need to go out and look for something like that. I don't have the time for it, and I really believe God leads us in the steps we're to take. And I do pray for my neighbors regularly, but I don't have a lot of opportunities to even get to know them or spend time with them because I'm just busy in the home.
I really believe, though, that the very presence of a Christian family in a town has got to make a difference, not one that can necessarily be calculated or that people are conscious of at the time, but it's what someone calls a redemptive presence. Mm-hmm. And the testimony that your family is bearing in the neighborhood is a very real thing. Surely when your paths do cross, people in your neighborhood, you would treat them as a Christian is supposed to treat another person. Mm-hmm. But I know that often people write and say that the guests that I have on this program, and I don't have many, but they all seem like super women and superstars. Mm. In fact, it was really amusing when I had my friend Arlita Winston. I think in my introduction I said, and now my guest Arlita Winston.
Guest star.
And this person thought that her name was Lita, and I had said guest star. Guest Arlita. And so she wrote to me and she said, you do not need to have any more stars on your program, or at least don't call them stars because they're not all models of Christian perfection. And I don't want anybody to think that you imagine yourself to be a perfect mother, and I know very well that you don't, because many are the tears that I've seen you shed over how poor a job you think you are doing. And every now and then there are little things in your home that I would like to say something about, and I think it's much better for me to do my talking on my knees. Mm. But I'm always very gratified that you and Walt quite often ask me for advice. Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me. Not very many young parents would even think of asking their parents for advice. They don't want to listen to advice, and they certainly aren't going to ask for it. So thank you for that, Val.
Well, thank you for your wisdom, because I always appreciate what my mother has to say. I do become very discouraged and anxious about my job as a mother. I expect, because I heard of my mother's family being so wonderful, I always thought that that's the way my family would be, and we fall so short of the ideal that I have in my mind of what a family should be that I get very upset. But my husband encourages me and says that it's the grace of God that's going to pull us through and raise those children, bring those children to serve Him as they should. And of course, it's His word, God's word, and my husband's encouragement that lifts me up again. And through prayer, I just went to a seminar this past week with my daughter Elizabeth, and one of the things he said was that if we want to be successful at anything, we must meditate on Scripture, spend time meditating on Scripture. And how surprised he is at how few people really do this. And so much of what we hear coming from Christians is what the world is saying to them. And so I've just started a little bit meditating on some Scripture, just having one psalm and trying to go over it in my mind. Eventually, I hope to memorize it. But that has helped me quite a bit just in the last 2 weeks, because the Word of God is pure and it's active and it's supposed to make a difference in our lives. We have a letter here from someone who says, "How can you maintain a pure and deep commitment to Christ for the long haul?" And even though my husband is a pastor and we're dealing with church people all the time, it is so easy to get our eyes off of what Christ wants us to be doing. And this is my prayer daily, is that we will seek first the kingdom of God, and we will keep that pure and simple devotion to Christ uppermost in our hearts.
Thank you so much, Val.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.